I want to call to your honour's attention," Markley growled, piqued at this decision, "the fact that this girl was buried on a death certificate for syphilis." Markley had good reason to fight this hard for the firm. Having shut down the headache of the orange plant, USRC was now back on track financially. Just one single order the firm had recently received, only a few days before, was for $500,000. They did not want to lose this case. The final witness on the stand on 25th of April was Dr. Humphreys, the girl's long-time physician. He was authoritative in describing their unusual conditions. He testified that in all these patients the same condition arose, and not just in them, but in other women he had seen, including Jenny Stocker. Finally, Humphreys had solved the puzzle of her peculiar knee condition. He now declared, "I think she died of radium poisoning." His testimony was long, and something of an endurance test for the five women. The Humphreys recounted each of their cases in detail, how they had first come to him with these puzzling pains, how he had guessed at how to treat them, and how now, today, his patients were all crippled. They were not the women he had first seen. Though they tried to keep their spirits buoyant, their bodies betrayed them. "I thought it would never end," recalled Catherine of his account. "This excruciating, horrible testimony." Yet she was brave about it. "It had to be done," she went on, "had to be told, or else how would we be able to fight for the justice that was due us?" And so the women listened. They listened as, in the public courtroom, Humphreys admitted, "I do not think that anything will cure it." The eyes of the many reporters flickered to the women, even as their own filled with tears. Yet the radium girls stoically accepted his pronouncement of certain death. Like the journalists, however, Backus couldn't seem to bear it. "You hope to find something every minute," he said urgently. "We hope to find something," Humphreys concurred. "Every minute," pressed the judge again. "Yes, sir," said Humphreys simply, but all the judge's urging couldn't magic up a cure. The girls were destined to die. The only question was whether they would be given justice before they did. The following day, the trial continued with more expert evidence. Distinguished doctors testified that it had been common knowledge since at least 1912 that radium could do harm. Berry admitted into the court record a host of literature, including articles published by USRC itself, to support the doctor's words. Though Markley tried to weaken the impact of these documents by citing the curative powers of radium, such as were promoted by USRC client William Bailey in his Radithor tonic, it was apparent that there were holes in his arguments. When he quoted a little-known study in an obscure journal, and one of the testifying doctors conceded he had never heard of the author, the expert witness added, "Who is he? What is he connected with?" Markley could reply only defensively, "I am not here to be questioned." The day was going well for Raymond Berry. The doctors were not rattled by their cross-examination in the slightest. One described those using radium as fools and said he thought that radium curatives should be abolished. "Aren't they approved by the Council of Pharmacy?" asked USRC's lawyers indignantly. I suppose so, retorted the esteemed doctor airily. But they accept so many things it means nothing to me, sir.